AJ,
well done, yes sir.
I think you could spit a little bar. We give you a couple words. Maybe two words, not four.
I like to blow my trumpet and that, do you know what I mean? In my last fight, I had to watch my weight. I'm eating too much, even though I'm a heavyweight.
Yay!
I'm on time and I'm never ever late. I'm hustling hard so I can go on in JD, chilling with my mates.
Mate.
I stay low key, never ever moving bait.
Mate.
Keep it calm, ring the alarm. Man chat, get slapped with my palm.
All right, oh, one sec. Hey! Oh!
As it's intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
One check and one face, one name. His name's Deontay Wilds. BoxingWiz.com.
There's no doubt in my mind. BoxingWiz.com. There's no doubt in my mind. I'll beat Wilder as well.
What up, world? Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I'm your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at The Boxing Voice, and you can catch me at NessGTO. So we're back. What we've been asking for, what we've been wanting for so long, for Shelly Finkel to come out and kind of clear it out, you know, give us his side of things. And that's what he's done this time around. He has definitely come out and debunked, is the words the people are using. You know, quotation marks, facts. He's saying that this fight, Joshua and Eddie, they never really wanted it, and that the two-fight deal with Wembley proves that. So we're going to get into those details, and we're going to chop this up with a full panel of hosts. Shout out to everybody that made it to the show today. Let's get on out to our co-hosts in the UK.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
BJ was going to beat me, then yeah, Cupid is going to beat me. He got smushed.
Why doesn't Wilder know about Max Wilder? This guy has been pro for like 8 years, 9 years. If Wilder wants some of his work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back with some Wilder Joshua negotiations talk. They think they've got something on Eddie, but come on, UK. Do your thing. I think I found a loophole in their argument. So we'll see. I'm sure their side will shout louder, so that means they're right. But we'll get our point across.
All right. Well, nice way to set a, you know, kind of pitch a narrative there.
What's up, man? Yeah, I just want to say I'm so fucked too.
Stay focused. Stay working my dad.
I'm so fucked too.
Yes, Enrique Church is my name. I am the co-star of the show, right? You can follow me, TBV underscore casual fan. Season 2, episode number 8, Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua negotiations. Or is it the internet titled Eddie Hearns has $15 million? Maybe I get an answer from Ron G. Maybe the way he interprets it and the results he got from his dissection of it all gives me some clarity. Or maybe, you know, UK Robbie, the way he protects it and validates it, Eddie Hearns offered $5 million to face Brazil or the $15 million to fight Joshua. Me, I must have missed an episode or two, because last I left off, it was a $50 million offer. Let's go. Pass that ball.
$50 million, you know, if you had balls, since you're saying pass the ball. So that's what they did. They passed the balls to the bravest man and decided, let's not take $50 million in the promised land of America. Let's head on out to Mike.
Yo, what's going on, people? You got a great show with talking about Shelly Finkel. He had a lot of stuff to say about Eddie Hearn, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see everybody's opinion on it. Pass it out to Ron.
Stepchild.
Yep, the stepchild of TBV right now, so I get my banner. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting show. I'm going to play devil's advocates and throw a lot of conspiracies and numbers and kind of add a little twist to this, seeing the fact that Shelly thinks the same way that I do. So let's start the show.
I don't know if Mike got a prop. Not Mike, but Ron G has got a pop a proper introduction as his boxing level, because he kind of sound like he's very knowledgeable. Like, he does more than just watch fights on Saturday like I do. You know, he digs in, I think.
He's the geek.
Is he the geek?
He's the geek. He's the IQ.
Do we level him geek number 10, like 10, level 10 or what?
Yeah. Math problems, man. I'm going to throw some numbers and we're going to go back in some history, man. I'm going to bring up some Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney comparisons.
Holy shit.
I mean, I don't know if that validates the argument of why the fight is not happening. But me personally, I think this fight is not happening. I believe it will happen. The contracts have disagreements, and you know, nobody wants to be the protagonist per se. So the movie continues, right? So where are we? Shelly Finkel now comes out as the protagonist, not the antagonist, which we're all looking at Eddie Hearn. UK Robbie.
Yeah. I mean, it's at this point where I think one side's believing one side and the other side's believing the other. Are we really going to get to the bottom of it? Who knows? But let's just hope sometime soon, maybe the April date, we get this fight. But let's just let's hear what Shelly had to say.
There should not be any hope, or there should not be any maybe.
To be honest, man, this has just turned into a big soap opera. One day one side says this right here, and it sways the fans' emotions towards this way. Then another side comes out and says something else, which does the same thing the opposite way. So
exactly. One side.
I'm ready to see the end.
One side saying you're a liar. The other side saying sign the contract. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, we could look at it that way, or we could also look at it as a glass half full. We wanted Finkel to come out. We kept saying Eddie was in front of this and he was the only one in front of the camera and, you know, really being verbal. Finkel did audio. You know, Finkel did video. He addressed the matter. I think we should lay out the audio as facts and let the public digest it and get their interpretations of what they are listening to.
I'm going to ask you, did you or did you not ask him if this fight, Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder, was going to be next and what his response was?
Yeah, he said definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it in writing.
So what happened? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What happened? How did it go from being next to being, we'll fight you April 13th?
Because he never intended to, but he had to figure a way out of it. Look, the first thing was, and I have letters of this also.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing was he asked for a $50 million offer. Joshua did.
In an interview, he did it. He made a public statement in an interview saying that, right?
Yes, yes. And we supplied it. He then asked us to prove funds. We said, fine, give us your lawyer's name and number, and we will prove it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Never gave it to us. Then Joshua personally asked for all the details of the deal, and we sent it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that we told him when it would be. It would be New York or Vegas. It would be November or December.
So straight away, they're coming up with it'll be November or December. You know, when we know from this negotiation that it was going to be October, November.
No. Hold on, Rob. Straight away, he sit there and he asked Shelly Finkel, did Eddie Hearn say, will this fight be next? And what did Shelly Finkel say?
Yes.
He said yes. Now, all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden back then. Let's go back a little bit. They wanted to fight at Wembley. And 2 months ago, our perspective was the fight could only be at Wembley in April. But all of a sudden, he signs a 2-fight contract to fight at Wembley, one in September and one in April. So why couldn't he fight Wilder in April? I mean in September.
He locked in two dates on a contract, not two fight contract. Well, you could word it that way too. But not, you're right. Why? Right? So maybe Rob has that. Not Rob, but IQ, Ron G. Let's go.
I mean, that's what I said on Sunday. I mean, it obviously takes a lot of time, preparation, negotiations to figure out and planning, not just for one date, but to be specific enough to have the next date. So that's knowing the seasons of the sports, the events, the network programming, so many things that is involved in getting those dates. And you're, when you're locked in, you can't just change it typically, unless they got some sort of clause that we don't see that puts like a rain check. But seeing that that's how far they saw, and they already prepped, ironically, that the second fight in their contract, they were going to add an additional 10,000 more seats. You know, so based off the level of competition, the people who people really want to see Deontay Wilder, you notice that we're going to add more seats for who? Who are we going to bring in that stadium where we can maximize and capitalize on extra 10,000 more seats?
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let me give, I guess it will be Eddie's side of this. Suddenly you can fight in September. If you remember, this fight was going to be September 15th. There's Canelo Triple G looked in doubt or it wasn't happening. And then it was. So they were then.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but he said Wembley wasn't available for September because of the Canelo fight, but now they're still doing September with the
So let me explain. So this is how I see it. So then they were like, we're looking at October, November for Cardiff because we're not going to go up. Because I don't know whether they were going to try and pitch this in the States as pay-per-view as well, seeing as Wilder was involved and this was going to be an undisputed heavyweight title. I know it's going to be like 5 o'clock or what, 6 o'clock over there, but they weren't maybe going to make the American consumer pay for Canelo Triple G the week before and then expect to pay another $70 or whatever for Joshua Wilder. So then
okay,
it was...
Okay. I definitely get that right there. I definitely understand you don't want to put the fight on the same month or same day as the Canelo Triple G. But there was a counter plan to this right here. Joshua said, hey, man, if you really want to fight me, bring me $50 million. Wilder said, shit, $50 million, that's it? I got you. Here you go.
Well, outside of that.
Hold on. I'm not finished. And then after he offered the $50 million, the fight would have probably took place in October, November, like Shelly just said. So it wouldn't be in the UK. It would have been in Vegas. So that's a counter plan to that argument, right? Rob, but go ahead, Ron.
Well, I mean, considering the fact that they did a public statement saying that Canelo was still going to plan to fight regardless if it was Triple G or not on that date, and that they were already having backup plans, and it was publicly stated that this date was going to be preoccupied regardless if that plan was going to be failed or not. So publicly, you think if this Triple G and Canelo fight fails, oh, they don't have that date, but they do have that date. And seeing that they publicly announced that they have that date, by announcing that we're going to try to compete with the date, was just a plan because they were going to fight regardless. You're going to compete with Canelo, who ranked 15 in Forbes. So you obviously know he's a big fighter. He's a big draw. So why plant that seed if we're going to compete with a date regardless of the fact that Canelo was going to plan to fight the date?
Good point. Because it can always resurface. But the thing that curveballed me was I saw Eddie Hearn interview, and he said something about take $5 million for a two fight deal package or something where he would make $25 million, but he threw the number $5 million out versus Dominic Brazil. And I took that like, oh, that's some like sideways step aside money offer. So what's the deal with that? Like, why was that even offered to not have the Anthony Joshua fight in 2018?
That was the sweetener. But I just want to finish the point on the Wembley thing that now, so now,
the sweetener, no, it's exactly what the casual fan said. Step aside money. Take $5 million. It doesn't bother Eddie to pay Wilder $5 million to shut up while he makes another roughly $40 million, right? Because every Joshua fight is about $20 million purse, right?
Right.
You know, so they already ducked him once, so they already going to fight Povetkin. Take another $5 million, go fight Brazil, give us time to fight Big Baby in August or in the United States, like what they've been planning in December. So, you know, it is step-aside money, in my opinion.
All right, so can I please finish the Wembley thing?
Oh, about the seats? Not about...
No, not about the seats. Cash, just fall back just a second. One second. Let me just get
UK fall back. They get mad at that word, so, you know.
I'm good. You can say whatever you want, but I just want to finish it because I always try to make a point and I'm told I'm quiet. So when I try to say it, people try and talk over me and shout louder, so their point is therefore the truth. So anyway, I'm just going to tell you this. The fact that there's now a September date seems to be the big, oh, suddenly there's a September date. Well, this is going to now be a UK guy versus a Russian guy, which isn't maybe particularly interesting for the American audience. So it doesn't matter that this is going to be going up in...
It never mattered. The fight was always in the UK. It never mattered. They were never going to do it pay-per-view. It's a lie.
All right. Anyway,
but that's not true that it doesn't matter, because me personally, I would tune in, and I'm American.
I mean, on the grand scale, well, you know, everyone's so happy to tell me that Clarissa Shields done better numbers than Joshua, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Obviously, I mean, I didn't even watch that fight. I just saw highlights on Instagram.
Well, even without you, more people watched it than
Joshua. It all depends on what network the fight's going to be
on. That was an unfair comparison. That was an IG fucking content creator that got creative. That was not a fair comparison. Clarissa went on at prime time. AJ was on at fucking 5 o'clock.
But the other day you brought it up and were laughing your balls off, Ned. So is it a good comparison or not? It's only...
I got to fuck with you every now and then. But reality is, it's not a fair comparison. You want to give it a fair comparison, it's got to be two fights that aired at the same time.
Right. Okay. But I'm just trying to get a point across that I don't think the American public are that interested in Joshua versus Povetkin over Joshua versus Wilder.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since we're not interested in Joshua versus Povetkin, that means they're not going to do it U.S. pay-per-view, right?
Povetkin, no.
Yeah, and since Canelo Triple G is happening, Wilder doesn't have to be U.S. pay-per-view. But guess what's going to happen? The huge difference between Anthony Joshua and Povetkin and Wilder and Anthony Joshua is that the U.S. will tune in. Right? Showtime will get a stream. We will watch it at 5 or 6. It'll be another 300,000 or 500,000 people watching it. And it would be better than not having 300,000 or 500,000 people watch it, 300,000 or 500,000 people watch it, and Povetkin and Joshua happen just solely to a UK audience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of you are going to watch it. It seems that America is very angry at Joshua and Eddie Hearn. They might just not want to tune in. Seem very angry, but let's just not forget that this was a
good right, good narrative. We should boycott him.
Not at all. Do what you want, but just don't forget that this was agreed and that he just didn't sign it. And it's turning out to me that he's now changed it and that he's just been told that, look, you should never have accepted, just like Aunt Joshua should never have said, bring me 50 million, and that backfired. Wilder should never have said, I agree the terms. Because he's now agreed it and not signed it. So it could have been the next fight had he's just signed it. It would have been October, November in Cardiff.
It was going to be April, no matter if he was signed it now or later.
More facts so that Rob could work overtime.
All right. So I'm gonna go in a couple of different perspectives. So the first thing is, like, you got to give the benefit of doubt that knowing the date is very important of a fighter. And I wish Dooming was on here, because the fact is, when you know the dates and stuff, you can actually set your training camp, get your sparring, and those are very important things. And it's not really like a crazy thing about the date, you know, as well as if you're flying over to a different country, you also need to get acclimated with the time. That's a big controversial thing that many people, that's why Manny Pacquiao's in, you know, the country a week prior, Lucas Matisse's there a week prior, because they need to get the rest and stuff like that.
You don't got to give so much fucking detail. It's a huge fight. The contract should have a date and a venue. It shouldn't be open. It shouldn't be blank.
Well, it's open because
the manager apparently can't have to email back and say, hey, when is the day? Is it the next fight? Like, that shit should be said right there.
Well, it's obviously obvious, but I have to break this down, because the fact is, obviously, there's feelings towards, you know, both sides. I mean, I mean, I can defend Rob in many occasions that, you know, when you really look at the ticket sales, and everyone talks about the American pricing, when you look at the cheapest ticket pricing in some of the UK fights, Deontay Wilder's fight with Ortiz, low entry tickets was actually cheaper than AJ's cheapest tickets. Now, obviously, at that point, you can look into many different things in pay-per-view. And when you clearly see that Anthony Joshua's fights in the UK does about $23 when you translate to US dollars. In American, you know, pay-per-view does obviously double the amount. So if you do twice the much that you do over in the UK, you're only going to gross, let's say they did, I don't know, $38 million they did in the last fight with Parker. If they had the same results was in the US, that would obviously be like damn near almost $100 million, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right.
On American money.
So that's the most sensible thing to make the money.
They've worked too hard to build up UK boxing. What was the exact quote that AJ says, or is it Eddie? You know,
AJ. He's gone out and unified and built himself to a position, and he's the A side and that, and he should be able to defend it in front of his own fans. Like they've built this, you know, wave, and they should get the fight where he wants to fight.
I'm going to go back to the dates. Having dates.
Let me get to some more audio.
Go ahead.
What's his name? Not Mauricio, but...
Mendoza.
What's his name? WBA.
Gilberto Mendoza.
Mendoza. Mm-hmm. Send a letter that you got to tell us by tomorrow. Very funny. On Sunday, I send him a letter. 12 hours later, there's a letter from Mauricio. From Mendoza.
So what are you guys' thoughts on that? Because, you know, I found that it was fishy that all of a sudden we got a letter and there was a 24-hour deadline that we still haven't seen an actual fight announcement. It just doesn't make sense, you know. And even Finkel is insinuating that, you know, he felt it was fishy because he had just responded. And then a couple hours later, this article comes out with this letter about a 24-hour deadline.
Look, now, when it comes to the WBA, we know they're not one of the most organizations that has a high level of integrity, because they have different rules and different situations that go on, and that doesn't make the sport look good. For instance, Luis Ortiz did PEDs and got kicked out the rankings. Povetkin is a known PED user, and he stayed in the rankings. So we know the WBA integrity level is not that high.
And also, you say, you know, fast talking Eddie, fast car Eddie. I think Finkel's just spun, you know, found a way of saying the WBA done it. Oh, conveniently. It's just a way of throwing shade back and making, you know, both sides have done it. They try to make each other look like the ones in the wrong, and they've just, you know.
I mean, but it does look shady. It's like we're in the middle of negotiations. All of a sudden, a deadline comes out that really doesn't exist. 24 hours, man.
Does it not? Do you know it hasn't been signed, sealed, and done? It just hasn't been announced yet? Is it definitely not been done?
So...
No, I'm just saying, do you know?
The WBA, they went public with ESPN. They didn't go public to Eddie Hearn. They went public to Dan Rayfield on ESPN. And said that they have given Joshua a 24-hour deadline. All of a sudden, they're going to go silent about being satisfied when they're the ones that put the fucking foot on Eddie's neck? No. I think they're going to let their nuts hang, like Tekashi says, and they're going to let that announcement be made publicly so that we can see the strength or power of the WBA. But in fact, there is no announcement. Where is it? AJ just posted yesterday that he's hanging around waiting for a signature. So I could be optimistic and say that he was waiting around upside down waiting for Deontay Wilder's signature and be optimistic that he's implying that the fight is still open for September. Or I could be pessimistic and say he's still waiting for fucking Povetkin's signature that isn't there. So or, you tell me.
Well, I'm just about to. Just woosa. You know, I think, or you could be optimistic in the fact that Povetkin is already that signature. That's already done. And the signature he's still waiting on is Deontay's for April.
That's true. I believe those dates exist.
Yeah. Since you want to say that's true, so then why don't you debunk this? How is it that Povetkin signed for a fight that the WBA mandated in 24 hours to be signed, yet AJ, the king, is waiting upside down? He's not going to tell the alleged 24-hour deadline, hey, we got a signature, but we're secretly still negotiating with Wilder, something you asked us not to do? Come on, bro. You're dreaming.
What do you mean secretly? What are you talking about secretly? Eddie Hearn said, we've moved on, but the contract's still there.
No, Eddie Hearn said, we've moved on because he didn't sign, and the WBA is making us handle our mandatory.
Yeah, we've moved on. Our next fight is now Povetkin, but there's no secret extra negotiation.
If your next fight is Povetkin, why are you waiting upside down for a signature?
Yeah, why is there no announcement?
Well, tune in this week. I believe it's
coming this week.
Sorry, I have to finish my sentence, but I don't normally get the chance.
Fake deadline, bro. Fake deadline.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
Fake deadline. More audio.
It's just the conditions, and we would have said no. Here's what we want, which would have been the changes, as we said before. But now they say it's 100,000 feet a day, added 10,000 for April. I should take the same money, but it's 10,000 more people.
Thoughts, gentlemen, because there's a lot of people saying, Rob especially, there's a contract in play. He could still sign it. Meanwhile, Eddie comes out verbally, just like he told Joshua to shut up in the media. He needs to shut up because what did he say? All these failed negotiations only make the fight bigger. Now Finkel comes out, which we already knew because Eddie made the announcement of the two-fight deal with Wembley and how the second fight would have 100,000 seats. We made an announcement show about it, that Wilder Joshua could possibly have 100,000. So how, in anyone's mind, even if you think Wilder's the B-side, does the fight get bigger, the pot gets bigger, and you still get the same amount?
Yeah.
Defend that.
I mean, I can't defend it. I mean, I'm just going to piggyback off it just simply off the fact of two things. I mean, when you look at the grand scheme of it, I mean, this works against Wilder in two ways, really bad. I mean, the first way is obviously if he agreed to sign the fight for $15 million and they add an extra 10,000 more seats to it, obviously he's going to miss a big percentage of it. But also by him not taking the fight, this can also work against him because when they keep holding these numbers against Wilder on who's the A side and the B side, obviously we know, you know, by numbers and that Anthony Joshua has brought more in his hometown and in his country. Now, when you see that they're adding 10,000 people, and let's say that he doesn't fight Deontay Wilder, that extra 10,000 people they're going to add in the stadium is going to be another fueling point where they're going to continue to add on. We sold 100,000 people in the stadium after breaking the Skybox record and breaking records over and over and over. That's going to hurt Deontay Wilder too. And so time is going to be against him too, because I can see that also being a factor where people's like, who we sold 100,000 now. What has he done?
I can definitely defend it. Simple as this right here. I'm the A side. You take what I give you. You're going to take this $15 million, and I'm going to get the rest of it. And after that, it is what it is. At the end of the day, Deontay got to realize that it's not going to be a 50-50 fight. In my opinion, the most he can probably get is probably 40%. If they keep doing all the propaganda and building up the fight like they are now, the fight will get bigger down the road. But I'm curious to see what Rob has to say, because you brought up the 10,000 people earlier.
Yeah, I agree. If there's more in the pot, then Wilder should get more. And I think we're going to reach the point where there may be a percentage split. I mean, we talked about Parker, who was a bout holder. He got, what was it, between 33 and 35. So, you know, Wilder, I guess, low end is going to be similar amount. So I'm not sure, but obviously Finkel, he's got a point. I'm not going to defend that. There's going to be, suddenly 10,000. I mean, it said extended to over 100,000. So how much more over 100,000? I don't know. But so there's more in the pot. So there should be more money to go around. And you know, look, despite all this back and forth and one side defending the other, I think we all agree we want this fight. And at the end of the day, I don't care how much AJ's making and I don't care how much Deontay's making. I just purely want to see the fight. But we're here discussing the narrative and everything like that. And
listen, yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, but my final thought, right, on this whole thing, it is about money. Agreements aren't made. One side keeps increasing the possibility of figuring out how to make it bigger and giving the other side by adding that 10,000 seats and not giving you more of the pie, saying you'll take it or leave it. You know, he wants to be the leader. He wants to be in charge. Eddie Hearn, that is. I guess he deserves that. Not sure, but, you know, it's all about the pie, splitting that pie, and how many people have to eat from that pie. And those people are standing up and argue. Shelly Finkel, one of them. Let the story continue.
Yeah, I mean, they said about secret negotiations, even though they were said out loud in interviews and stuff. So this is kind of Shelly secretly negotiating the Joshua fight still, when it looks like he's probably going to have Brazil or someone like that next.
Bro, you're in fucking La La Land with Peter Pan, okay? Because if the post that AJ posted upside down, waiting for Wilder's signature, is an indication that that fight is going to happen next, well, then why the fuck would Shelly Finkel be on Fight Hype doing this interview that we're discussing?
I'm saying he's waiting on the signature for April after Povetkin. That's my thought on that tweet or IG post.
All right, so then why don't we have a fight announcement for the Joshua Povetkin 24-hour WBA deadline? The one that caused all this, right? Because we could have still been negotiating Wilder Joshua.
But yeah, I don't know. The
story was in the way.
You don't know that it hasn't been signed, and I don't know that it has been signed, but there's been no announcement, and we'll never know that. Oh, yeah, it was done within the 23 and a half hours.
Just what logical sense that you're sitting upside down waiting for a signature to fight in September 22nd, which you've already announced you're fighting in Wembley? So you're waiting for that signature from that opponent. Why would you be waiting upside down for a signature for a fight 7 or 9 months from now? Come on, bro.
Listen, I just think it's just a little swipe at Wilder. It's like the whole UK saying, oh, Wilder's lost his pen. I think it's just
a double-sided sword, man.
It might be a swipe on you and a swipe on me, because at the end, right? Eddie Hearn is like this. He's like, yo, let this shit ride out. Let it ride out. It's all coming back to us because the fight will happen. We're going to talk the splits. We are going to fight Povetkin, right? Povetkin. And let them keep talking. We haven't heard from Deontay Wilder. He's been quiet. You know, AJ's quiet. He comes out still waiting on the signature. So it's bait and switch to the public, not against each other, I'm sure.
Far from quiet, bro. He just did the Brian Schwab's or show.
Yeah, that was a week ago. And that's
he
it.
Hasn't said anything.
And I'm talking about on Instagram, not on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about like Twitter, like guys that dig in only on Twitter. They haven't even
replied on one Deontay Wilder post, and now he posted an upside down post.
So then there you go. But it's still a play on us.
I mean, how we look at it is, I mean, unfortunately, we're not going to get the fight. So, I mean, at this point, the whole idea was to get the fight right away. And he's going to want to take the whatever case amount of money so he can get it right away. Since he can't, and they're adding more seats to the venue, Wilder's getting promotion regardless of the fact that they take the Wilder fight tonight. Wilder is getting bigger by the minute. And I'll ask like the chat and everyone just like an honest question. When Canelo Alvarez fought Amir Khan, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you think that fight was bigger than what Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua could become?
Hell no.
Okay, so with that, did you know that Amir Khan was actually the highest paid like British boxer since like the Vladimir and the David Haye? He got like over 13 million pounds. Now, when you compare how much money he got for fighting Canelo, that did 600,000 pay-per-views in the US, which is not that much.
600,000 is a lot, and let's be real, there's two numbers. There's a 425 and a 600. I do personally like to go with the 600, which was the first number, but we did have a previous co-host that consistently brought up the 425.
But think about the amount of money that they would, if they did in the UK and the US, And seeing that the fact that Amir Khan never was even close to breaking any type of skybox office.
Amir Khan never did a pay-per-view. That was his first pay-per-view. So that's the theory right there that you could shoot down where people say, Wilder's never done a pay-per-view. Neither did Khan, and it still pulled in 600.
And what I mean, like 600,000 is not a lot. I'm saying in comparison to what Anthony Joshua does, in addition to having his nemesis, because Canelo and Triple G did really good numbers. And I feel like the reason why Canelo was able to overseed AJ because AJ was not able to make a Deontay Wilder fight. Canelo got to fight his nemesis and he was able to generate that amount of money. And when you see that Canelo was able to get 15 on fours by fighting Gennady Golovkin after being a star, and Gennady Golovkin's roughly kind of like what Deontay Wilder would be in the comparison of this. So if you get Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder fight, don't you think he deserves more than 15 million? That's what he's trying to say, seeing the fact that I'm not going to get the fight right away. This is really what it is. I mean,
no, but that was always obvious, bro. Like, we always knew, bro, if Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson and fucking Lennox Lewis made 100,000 almost 20 years ago, how the fuck won't these guys make it? It was just a lie. It's always been a lie. When we said it was a $100,000 fight, Eddie said it wasn't. And then they produced half of the money for one fighter. So that was a lie. Now Eddie says the fight wasn't available for Wembley in September. And now it is. That was a lie. Like, just a lie.
Can we agree that Deontay should never have said, I agree to the terms? I shouldn't have, to the flat fee? He shouldn't have said that?
Sure. Right after you agree that Anthony Joshua should have never said, give me 50 million.
I've said that from day one, Nez. That's what I've said. It was a fuck up on his part.
But he's the one that caused the problem because Deontay never said, I will agree to a flat fee. No. Deontay said, I want the fight. Let me talk. Deontay said, I want the fight, right? It's a $100 million fight. AJ said, oh, well, if it's a $100 million fight, well, give me 50. So he brought him 50. Your side of the table has always been playing beyond hardball. 12,000 and 15,000, 15 million. It's like Ron is giving you the math, you know, versus smaller fighters. They still got paid more. Like, it's a slave contract, bro. And that's why he said, all right, we're not fighting in September. Well, fuck that 15 million. I'm never taking that.
Right. I'm just saying, do you not see that whether people know the ins and outs or whatever, Deontay shouldn't, like to the 15, he should have said, no, fuck that. I don't want 15 million. I'm worth more than, instead of saying, yeah, I agree. Just and then like not, AJ, and then not.
Just like AJ should have said, nah, Eddie, fuck that. I want 50 million.
I mean, but he never got a date and venue. Like, how can you hold someone accountable for saying, yeah, I'll take the 15 million once I get all the terms? And he didn't get all the terms.
I'm trying to say, as a narrative.
You know what was going to happen? They get him to sign a blank contract, right? That says, yeah, you're going to fight Anthony Joshua. There's no date. There's no venue on it, but sign. He signs. All of a sudden, WBA mandates this 24-hour deadline. Oh, you already signed, but we got to do our mandatory. And it still happens in April, the way they always wanted. It's always been bullshit.
All right, if there's a quote, did Deontay say he'll take the $15 million this year or next year?
No, he said this year.
So that's the specific term saying that I would take $15 million.
No, took 15. Listen, he took the 15. They accepted the terms on the email. Eddie sent the contract. They sent it back. Because it was two things, right? It was the rematch clause that obviously Eddie again changed, right? Because when they agreed to the terms, it didn't say that the rematch clause was one-sided. When they agreed to the terms, it didn't have no date, no venue. It's not their fault that these things were taken out or changed.
What's up, Cass? What's your thoughts?
I mean, like I said, I have final thoughts. I can't follow the story no more. You know, it's just too much back and forth. He say, she say, and it's all up at the end. It's about a split, and it's a big drama show. No pun intended to Triple G. But you know, I believe that it will happen. It's just the marination stage and a lot of story. And you know, the normal boxing fan is beyond. You know, Saturday night fights, you know, we're searching Twitter, we're searching IG, we're looking for information on YouTube. And, you know, then we speculate, and Eddie Hearn and the whole boxing behind the scenes people that are giving us this show.
Well, I mean, since he's going final thoughts, I'll do the same. I think that that's the biggest worry. Guys like the casual fan being tuned out. You know, when you ask his opinion, he's like, man, I can't follow it. He say, she say. Like, these are not the words that should be associated with mega fights. With heavyweights, no doubt. Like, heavyweights, we shouldn't be considering and questioning whether or not they want to fight each other. This doesn't make sense, you know? The narrative of this fight is all fucked up. Like, when you think of big men, you never think of them being afraid, you know? And now we have that narrative that one guy is afraid or the other guy is afraid because, you know, if you're an AJ fan, you're saying that Deontay lost his pen. So obviously you're insinuating that he is also afraid. If you're a Wilder fan, you're saying AJ is ducking because he don't want the $50 million he asked for. So obviously we're insinuating that he's afraid. You know what I'm saying? And it just doesn't make sense because these are the big men. It's a pity that this is where, you know, this storyline has gone. But those are my final thoughts. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTL.
Yeah, I just think, like you're saying, that was just what I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to take swipes at Deontay. I'm just saying that's the narrative people saying, oh, Deontay's lost his pen. But I think we can agree that probably both fighters aren't scared. Neither man, as in fighter, is ducking. But I think both management are trying to get the most for their guy. And I think we're just going to have to wait and see. But if AJ was hanging upside down saying he's waiting for the signature that's April, then fingers crossed it's April. If it's not next, let's hope it's the one after. But I just want to fight.
Why would I sign a signature for April of a flat fee, Rob?
I'm just, oh man, you just refuse to even listen when I talk about it.
It's so, like buying a house.
You've got your own feelings and you don't want to hear no one else's. So Ron, final thoughts.
Why you concern yourself with other people's feelings? Just express yourself. I'm here.
I always try to, but there's never a point.
You can't
just get shouted down.
If the expression is strong enough, see how I just waited for you to fade away and then I spoke. You got to get that flow, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. My flow is fine.
He has the hardest job on
the planet. He does. He's the only guy.
The only guy defending an entire country of, you know, scary cats.
But they're tuned
scary.
In.
Scary. There's nothing scary. It's just no, you it's reach a point scary. Of not even bothering.
Billy Joe Saunders is like doing what, you know? AJ's fighting everybody but the guy we want him to fight. Like,
but what do you mean scary? I don't know what you mean scary. You guys, I'm scared of you guys. I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? No, I don't know what he's actually saying. Like, he's the only guy defending a country because we're scary.
The fighters.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fighters are scary, you know? The Kell Brooks of the world that choose to fight a bunch of different guys instead of the real guys in the divisions, like JoJo Danz and Frank.
Or the Errol Spences.
Saldivia.
The Errol Spences. No,
Errol Spence was a mandatory.
He didn't then. Mandatory. Oh, but yeah, but who was.
Yo, Eddie Hearn got 3 extensions, don't forget.
Yeah, all right, but what did Triple G do when he didn't want to face his mandatory? He got stripped. Did Cal Brook decide to vacate or anything?
No, like, he didn't get stripped. He got fucking tore apart.
I mean,
yeah,
by being
so scared he didn't fight him. Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm going to be fair.
He took a knee. Stop acting like he fucking went out on a shield. He took a fucking knee and his trainer jumped in for him twice, back to back.
Hey, to be fair though, going to Triple G after not fighting Errol Spence to coming back to Errol Spence, I get the mandatory situation. That's mandatory. He didn't choose that fight. But the fact that he fought Triple G, I mean, I'm not really going to say that's bad. And seeing that after he fought Errol Spence, got his, you know, eye sock is all broken up and he's considering trying to maybe fight Jarrett Hurds and stuff. I'm gonna give Kell Brook props to me. I mean, I get what you're saying. He did have those long layoffs, extensions. The injuries could be questionable. Who knows? But fighting Triple G after Chris Eubank priced himself out and then going and fighting Errol Spence to defend his title and then moving up in weight and claiming that he wants to fight Hurd. If he does fight Hurd, if he gets beat up, I mean, I don't think Kell Brook could beat Hurd right now in this state, but I got to give him props if he fights like a Jarrett Hurd. Like, Kell Brook gets my respect for those type of fights.
Not being scared, yeah.
to me.
So you're giving him respect because you're assuming he might fight Jarrett Hurd.
If he takes the Hurd fight after all that, then I can't really not kill Brooke.
If he doesn't, also, he's scared.
You can't also give him credit because he ain't done it yet. All right. And the Triple G shit, please. Willie Monroe stepped up. Okay. Before fucking Kell Brook stepped up for way more money, Gabriel Rosado stepped up. Plenty of people stepped up. Stop acting like Kell Brook fucking did something special.
But it wasn't his weight class. He moved up to
weight classes. Man.
I know it's daring to be great. It's not the greatest thing to do.
No, fam. He didn't do nothing special. Juan Manuel Marquez did that before him when he moved up two weight classes to fight the best fighter on the planet. Like, stop it. He moved up for it. And Juan Manuel Marquez did not make $4 million plus a percentage, man. You guys are living in fucking Peter Pan land. Kell Brook went up for a ginormous deal. Then who was the inside man? Eddie Hearn. And all of a sudden, Eddie couldn't deal with Chris Eubank. Why? Because he knew he could slide in Kell fucking Brook.
Hey, if it was for the money, then yeah, of course. Of course he's going to take a career pay.
Google it. See how much money he fucking made.
That's the same thing that Amir Khan did. I agree. Amir Khan did the same thing.
Chris Eubank turned down an alleged $4 million. Guaranteed for that. That's not plus pay-per-view, bro. Fuck yeah, if I'm Kell Brook, I move up. Let's talk right now. Name one welterweight off the tip of your tongue. You can name Mayweather, Pacquiao, right? And active that makes $4 million guaranteed to fight plus pay-per-view upside. Go ahead, I'll wait.
I don't know what the point
there's
is.
No one active. That's what I can speak minute, to. No one active.
One minute is prize fighting and boxing's a business. But it's getting shit for going up and making money.
The reason I said no one's because I already said it. Amir Khan. Amir Khan was a welterweight that moved up.
Yeah, he moved up.
I mean, way more money than that, too.
He did move up. Yeah, but that's because Canelo's a fucking American star. You know what I'm saying?
But Triple G was like the machine.
That fight happened in the UK and this fight happened over here. It was different, but they still made over 400,000 pay-per-views, right? In the UK for that?
Well, of course. I mean, of course we're going to, like, we can't bash someone for wanting to take the money, but it's also a tough fight. Like, if you told me to go fight someone that's like, I'm not a fighter, right? When I'm hiding behind the IQ, I get my banner, you see me, look, I'm not going to beat anybody up. But it's still a situation where it's like, damn, I'm going to take all this money to fight this big-ass dude. It still takes a little bit of credit, a little bit. I'm not giving the praise because paydays do make people like Conor McGregor fight Mayweather and stuff like that. But to seeing the fact that he knows back his mind that I have to fight Errol Spence after this, it's still tough because he's like, I might take this ass beating for this money knowing that I'm going to probably take another ass beating.
Listen, we've definitely gone off the deep end. Oh, shit, I can't even hear Mike. What happened?
I said not win is a win-win situation. If you win against Triple G, okay, wow, you did it, Kell Brook. But if you lose, nobody was expecting you to win anyway. So it's a win-win. You lose and get paid, or you win and become bigger than what you are.
But either way, you're not scared, right?
I'm not going to knock Kell Brook, man. Yeah, I mean, regardless of the money.
To fight anybody, but at the same time, I mean, we all knew that he wasn't going to.
Well, we got callers, so let's get to that. One moment here, any day now.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Going out to New Jersey, I mean.
The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up. Let's make it sufficient. Everybody, let's agree with it.
Told you. I'm on it. I'm on it. Bat signal flaring up. Listen, I don't want to say it's sad, but it's an unfortunate truth. I mean, it gives us balance it as fight fans of understanding why certain fights don't get made. Like, this is a lesson. This is a lesson for maybe a lot of people that look, you know, let's look at this as a learning example. Everybody that maybe have looked at boxing casually, didn't really see much what was going on after Floyd. They looked at the circus fight and they said, oh, heavyweight division. Heavyweight division is for the entertainment. It's what everybody loves. Casual fans is knockouts, right? This is a lesson on why boxing has waned over the years because of the politics behind holding belts hostage and moving funny and not making contracts. And part of it is genuine promotion. You talk shit, you're trying to build it up, but if you see certain elements working in a direction, then you have to understand the fight is not likely to happen. And I think we talked about that, everybody that knows boxing. Again, us that we looked at it and said, you know, when we talk about the two best heavyweights, who settles it? Wilder and Joshua, how does that fight happen? We all kind of, you know, it shouldn't be too difficult, you know? It's a unification. They got to come together. And as you said the other day on the show, I figure, like, you know, sometimes we like to break it down to the most basic principle. It don't matter what governing body rank you, whatever. If you got the only belt that's out there, that means you number one in all of the other fucking division, you know, in all of the other sanctioning bodies. That's how it should go. Don't tell me you got the WBC and then you're ranked 15 or 10 just because somebody fucked with the WBO. So I just think that we should just look at it and understand, you know, as fight fans, this is why we end up on a show not exactly talking about somebody's technique or boxing skills, because we got to talk about this. This is why shit ain't happening. That's my call, fellas.
I mean, thanks for calling in. We're going to go out to Michael in the UK.
Gosh. Hey guys, flipping out. Hey, what have I got a lot to say? I don't even have got enough time to say all I got to say. I'm just gonna go straight to the points that of the whole situation. Now, all of us are on the same side. We all like AJ Joshua, we all want this fight to happen. So I think we should get together and, you know, just common sense should come into play. Now, going into the conversation with the interview which Shelly Pinkle had, like, I'm not happy with that interview because a lot of questions that Fight Hype do, they don't ask. They're just like fanboys. They let him talk and talk and talk and don't ask proper questions, you know? So a lot of questions wasn't answered. But going into certain things that you said in the interview, oh, about the $50 million. I don't want to go into this $50 million because that's old news now. We know that he wasn't taking it. We knew that AJ made a mistake when he said it because he wanted it in the UK, not in the US. We already know all of that stuff. But if you're going to go into that anyways, Shelly Finkel contradicted himself because when he said he offered the terms to Eddie Hearn, he said, oh, it's going to be in November or December. So where's the date? Where's the venue? There's no date and no venue. But yet he's talking about date and venue when Eddie Hearn is talking about contract. So he's contradicting himself then. And then number two, he's saying, oh, he wants to get more money now for the second fight because what? He's doing 100,000 seats. An extra 10,000 seats up in the heavens where God is sitting is going to be £10. He's only doing it just so he can break the record for the highest attendance. It's not for extra pay-per-view. How much money does he want extra for that extra 10,000 seats?
It's a good point. A good point. But you got to show proof at the end of the day.
But what does he want? He's holding up this whole negotiation over extra 10,000 seats. It's probably going to be sold for £5 per seat. Really? I mean, come on now. Let's talk real talk here. Yeah? And then, and number three, Shelly Finkel's talking, Eddie Hearn went to WBA, they said this 24-hour fake deadline. Man, they've been negotiating for 3 freaking months, yeah?
Two seasons.
Do you know what I mean? 3 freaking months, but then he sent the offer over a month ago, and he waited until over a month to respond to say, yes, I'm interested now. So, and number four, Why did he go to ESPN and told him about what's he going to do before he spoke to Eddie Hearn? Eddie Hearn is the person he's supposed to negotiate with, right? So why did he talk to ESPN before talking to Eddie Hearn about the whole thing?
That's true.
So there's loads of things that holds in his conversation that he has not talked about properly. That's why I don't like how Fight Hype.
Caller, I apologize, but did you see the Eddie Hearn IFTV interview? It was dated like June 27th, so that's like a week ago or a week and a half ago. Right.
In which I saw a lot of it in that interview.
He had like the red shirt with all the stars, and he was talking about negotiation back and forth.
It was the IFL one.
IFL. I'm sorry, I called it IFTV. IFL with Krugen, right?
Krugen.
Did you see that one?
I mean, you should have asked him that earlier, bro.
I wanted to, but he had a lot off his chest. But the reason why I say that is because, you know, when it becomes like America and UK, and UK don't take offense to this, because like, whose side did you choose on the World Cup? UK, England, or Colombia? Right? You chose UK. You didn't choose Colombia. So, you know, he's on some choosing side stuff. And I get it.
Support.
All right. Well, let's go out to Mark in Ireland.
Hey yo, what's up?
What up?
Can I talk about Kell Brook real fast? Just really quick. Let's say Robert Easter Jr., yeah, moved up to welterweight tomorrow to fight Errol Spence. Okay? Would you not say that that's like fucking brave as shit?
He's got no shot.
Yeah, you'd say he's got no shot, but if he did it and he wanted a chance to do it, it's still brave as fuck.
No, see, that's the mentality across the pond. When that fight was mentioned, I said he had no shot. It was a waste of time. Oh, he's daring to be great. So you guys want to see a massacre. You wanted to see his eye socket get destroyed.
So when Manny Pacquiao moved up 8 weight divisions through his career, that wasn't
Stop it right there, because for up until this point, everyone on the panel thinks that you're knowledgeable. Don't you ever compare Manny fucking Pacquiao, 8 divisional world champion, has fought legends, first ballot Hall of Famers, he's beat them. Man, you're fucking disrespectful. You're going to mention Manny Pacquiao and Kell Brook in the same situation because they both moved up? Don't
no,
do that.
That's,
don't
that's
do
not
that.
A comparison.
No, it isn't what a I'm comparison.
Saying, what
it
I'm
isn't.
Saying is when people move up, it's still fucking dangerous, especially when you move in against the hardest hitting.
When Pacquiao moved up, brother, when Pacquiao moved up, we believed him because he is special. That's why he's still fighting Lucas Matisse. He is special.
He moved up. He's special.
There's only a few fighters that come in our generation that are special.
Just pick a different person that moved up.
I know.
Just pick second.
Why don't we pick one that didn't move up, like Trout versus Charlo, that was told, Nez said, what balls he's got for doing that. And that's someone in the same division.
You know why I said it, though? Won't you keep it in context?
Because guy, he believed it was a possibility thinks, that he could win.
No, because I didn't believe it was a possibility. Because this guy, he's hilarious.
Then you just contradicted yourself.
I'm telling you,
if you
no.
Don't believe it's if you don't think it's a possibility he can win, and you didn't think that Kell Brook can win, you still think he has balls.
Listen to me.
So
I said what I said. I said what I said about Trout, because check his resume. And I said the same thing about Kell Brook, but there's slight difference because he had to be forced to do it. But whenever you fight two tough guys, I said the same thing about Keith Thurman when he fought Danny and Sean. If you're fighting back-to-back top fucking 5 and 3 fighters, yes, you deserve some respect. And Trout did that by fighting Hurd. He fought Charlo. Heard Charlo, bro. Like, come on.
Okay, so just to be fair, because I'm who was Kell Brook's options? If it wasn't to fight Errol Spence, who else did he have an option?
What do you mean?
He had
options. He asked for 3 already from the IBF.
So at that point, then when you really look at the situation, then it could possibly be, how can I get my last paycheck before I lose my money?
What do you mean before I lose my money?
Because if he loses to Errol Spence, the stock goes down like anyone else. You lose your belt, you take a loss, the stock goes down.
He didn't have to. Listen, he does have balls, bro. He didn't have to because Eddie told him, look, let's move up. Eddie didn't want him to take the fight. Eddie wanted him to vacate. But, you know, he social media is powerful these days. He heard the cries. He knows fucking people was fucking what they were saying. We all were saying he was ducking Earl. You know what I mean? So he did it. He did it. But look, he paid for that shit. Idris, you're up.
Yeah, man. It's I'm not gonna lie to you. I can agree with you, man. And Kell Brook is my favorite fighter in the world. Like ever since I was young, bro, I've been watching him for years and years before he was even being managed properly and stuff. Like I wouldn't call it daring to be great to fight Golovkin when you're getting a super, that kind of money. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's a difference.
No, that's chilling for the rest of your life, money.
Exactly, like that's all he was talking about. Like even before that, I remember him talking about something about him and his wife and his kids are set, and so I was thinking, you really call that dare to be great when that's the motivation behind your choices? Like the Errol Spence, I could call that sort of dare to be great, because Eddie Hearn was pushing and pushing for him to vacate and go to 154, and Kell Brook was like, no, a man should only lose his belt in the ring. You know what I'm trying to say? When I heard him say that in one interview, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give him mad respect, man. Like, that's the truth. You know what I'm trying to say? So there's that. Let me just touch on the Shelly, what's his name? Shelly Finkel point. He's doing all of this shit for the media, and he's holding on to receipts and stuff, and he's still not saying anything valid. Like, he admitted that Eddie Hearn got back to him and said the fight is next. Like, the guy is the one that messed up the whole situation for everyone. Now he's talking about going back to the table for April 13th. If nothing happens if the next fight is not April 13th, it looks like Eddie Hearn has put all his chips on the table, because no one 100K is coming out to see anyone other than Deontay Wilder. That's like a big move for him to, like, it's got to the point where I don't even think he will even do 90K after Povetkin for, like, unless it's Wilder. You know what I'm trying to say?
That's not true. You must be an AJ hater, but you must be an AJ hater. Because if Dillian White beats Joseph Parker, they definitely doing 100,000. They're going to do more than 100,000.
But at the same time, it's the Wilder one they want. And Dillian White, the thing with Kell Brook is, and Dillian White and people like this here, they've got security. They can dare to be great. Like, Dillian White can lose to Parker, and he knows he has that AJ fight for life. It's the same with Kell Brook and Amir Khan and stuff. And I wanted to mention this earlier with the Gerald Miller thing. That's why he said Gerald Miller's taking it easy, because he ain't got that kind of security. Like, he knows that he's going to get that AJ fight one day, as long as he keeps winning. He don't want to lose. Dillian White can lose all he likes and he'll always have that fight, you know?
Well, all right, Idris, thanks for calling in. We're going out to Stefan. Talk to me.
Hello. Good morning. I want to touch on the Kell Brook thing. I think he was actually quite brave taking on Golovkin. Now, fair enough, he was paid a lot of money, but he thought he had a chance. And to be fair, for a few rounds, he was doing very good. And getting back to Wilder, he still made more than Wilder.
That's that UK mentality, man. Same shit I said about Khan. Khan was beating Canelo until he got snuck.
Listen, but we know with Khan, Khan's got a weak chin. He, you know, he can move, he's got speed, but he has got a weak chin. He's been proved time and time again. But Shelly Finkel, come on. Do you really believe these things he's saying? He knows what he was doing. He knows he was stalling because they were gonna put it on Joshua to go and have that fight. They weren't going to wait forever. So he's just talking a lot of rubbish. He knew he was always going to want to fight Brazil anyway. That was also said ages ago. Hearn had said that ages ago that he was going to fight Brazil. And that's probably what his next fight's going to be. So, in fact, you know, in him being scared, there is no fear. They don't want the fight, and they know it. Now they've got this whole Joshua. They've just boosted Wilder's name. And I apologize for the last caller, him being from the UK and all that, because a lot of his points that he made there was quite scary. I don't even think he watches boxing, but yeah, that's me.
Well, all right, brother. Thank you for calling in, Stefan. We're going to get out to Ray, Hurricane Ray in Miami. What up, what up, what up?
What up, Ness? What up, man? Once again, I get through early. Check this out, though, man. Hey, yo, all this posturing and shit on social media, man. You know, we already exposed AJ for the fraud that he is, and Eddie Hearn, man. You know, I'm still waiting for the sanctioning body to sign this fight, make it sealed, and deliver it. There's no press conference coming up. So it's a bunch of posturing, man. It's bullshit, yo. They want to say that Wilder used his name, AJ's name, to build up his name, when in fact, it's the other way around. Because Wilder's the X factor. Yeah, you know, AJ's the cash cow. But without Wilder, there ain't no $100 million fight that they're claiming to be, you know? So, man, they need to stop posturing up. They need to get this deal done. Fuck all that bullshit about where's your pen, this and that. You know what you guys did. Fuck it. Just fess up. Be all right with it. Keep it moving. And just say that we're going to handle the fight in April. That's it. That's my call. Big up, TVV.
Ray, thanks for calling in. GT Kid in Atlanta, talk to me.
Yo, man. I don't know why y'all giving props to Austin Trout for getting beat up three times, but I don't even want to burn on it. You know, but he got beat up three times. But, you know, Trout's my dude, man. He got much heart. Anyway, man, getting to this whole Hearn and Finkel thing, man. Look, Eddie Hearn was trying to set up the fight for September. And then GGG, Canelo 2, got put back on. And Hearn is smart. He's not going to stack pay-per-views in the same month. So he was going to push off to November.
Yet he's selling pay-per-view with Povetkin and AJ.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, he's going to still do the pay-per-view, but it's not a mega fight. That's a mandatory. Joshua was a pay-per-view fighter from here on out, period.
Exactly.
So Joshua can fight.
So his fight still is a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but Canelo Triple G isn't a pay-per-view here, so we won't be paying for two.
So all right. So I need you to answer this, Rob, because you keep insinuating, right, with absolutely no facts and no Eddie interview quotes, that this fight was ever going to be on pay-per-view. Okay, ever. And even if it was, he made it clear to Espinoza that Espinoza was reaching by insinuating that it was going to be on pay-per-view, remember?
Yeah, I think that was just shots fired back after.
Oh, you think it was just shots fired?
Well, I'm allowed to think, yeah? You give your opinion, I'll give mine.
You are allowed to think, but why don't you think by reading the black and white that he wrote? He wrote that it wasn't going to be a pay-per-view, but you want to read and interpret it differently.
No.
After the event, Nez. After shade was thrown at Hearn the first time, so
it's gonna be a pay per view on his Dazen platform. It's not gonna be. He's not trying to do a pay per view with Showtime because he's invested in his own product. So he's not trying to do any more pay per views with Showtime or HBO or anybody else. He's trying to do his own pay per views.
Didn't he announce that he wasn't gonna do that though?
He announced what?
That he wasn't going to do DAZN pay-per-views?
No, there ain't no pay-per-view on DAZN.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no pay-per-view. I mean, there's no pay-per-view. I mean, the best you could get out of that is get subscriptions by putting the fight on there. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, look, you could choose to interpret things however you want, man. I just want the fight to happen because we've been here before. I mean, talk to me.
Yo, real quick, I just wanted to say what are the mics from the UK? I'm telling you, is that rapper kid Mike GLC? I'm out.
DK and Cincy, talk to me. Cincinnati, stand up.
What's up, man? What's going on, man?
What up? No speakerphone, player. Brother? Get off that speakerphone. No, let's hear you clear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Nash?
Yes.
Nash.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. They done got me switching sides. You know what it is. Kell Brook would rather go lose to the white boy before he lose to the brother. That's all that is. Just like AJ would rather lose to the white boy before he lose to the brother. They don't want to give up that first L to the brother. So it's going to be like Tyson Holyfield, man. That's what it is. That's why he did. That why wouldn't he promise Dillon White? Remember, Wilder told him, if you give me Dillon White, I'll fight Anthony next. Why wouldn't he agree to that? Because he's scared?
Because he never wanted this fight. He never wanted
it. Never wanted it, man. But just remember, man, he never wanted to fight. AJ admitted to you, soon as he told you, maybe not 2018, maybe not 2019, maybe 2020. And we don't want no rematch clause. Come on now. He don't want no smoke with Wilder. But they trying to age him out, and they want to make sure he lose, man.
Do you think Povetkin can stand a chance against AJ?
Without a doubt, he got a chance. But that's what they get. They don't mind losing to nobody. They just can't stand to lose. They don't want to hear Ness mouth. They don't want to hear Ness mouth.
So who's Povetkin promoted by? Who's the gain on that?
Who on the Povetkin fight?
Yeah, so let's just say like he was backed by a network like HBO, and he had like a guy of non-colored. They can benefit like Lomachenko or Triple G of that. Where can he benefit with Povetkin? Because I understand what you're talking about. I can go deep in that too, but where can they benefit by losing Povetkin?
He's beatable. He could beat him. We've seen him beaten by Klitschko. He's a bigger guy. He's beatable. We don't know how to beat this guy Wilder. He come in, he's unorthodox, and he come in with a crazy right hand. We know he going to whoop our ass. So Eddie Hearn is doing the right thing by keeping his boy away, keeping his golden goose away from the killer, because the killer going to take all of the eggs.
But if Povetkin wins, how does Eddie Hearn gain on that? Like, let's just say that I threw – you know, if I had like a top ranked situation where I have two of the same fighters, so a golden boy, where if this fighter beats this fighter, I can gain the benefits. Where's the benefits of Povetkin beating AJ for Eddie Hearn in Matchroom? Let's say that he doesn't want to sign with him.
There's no benefit. No, there's no benefit for that. It's no benefit. But it's an easier fight, much easier.
You just told me like it's an easier fight. So you're saying that AJ can beat Povetkin?
Yes, he gonna beat him because he's too big. He got the reach advantage. He gonna beat him, but I'm saying he's much easier. That you going to a 50-50 fight to a 60-40 fight.
I'm making you do circles. Gotcha. All right.
I don't know, man. I agree with him. Like, that's what everybody's been saying. You take the Povetkin fight, the Big Baby Miller fight. You take all those because those are on the outside. You know,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the benefit. You can beat these people just like everyone's projecting. But having Povetkin being the person to beat AJ, because that's the benefits that they rather lose to Povetkin than Wilder, is not sensible. That's actually crazy for Eddie Hearn to do that.
Yeah, that's the wording of that was
you know, it doesn't make sense, right? Because it's like you don't rather him lose to Povetkin, but you rather him face Povetkin because you know he probably won't lose.
I knew what he was trying to get at. I'm like, I'm telling you, man. If you call in, you got to be tight, man. I'm gonna hold you against what you say, just like you hold us, and like how we hold them.
Ron, coming at you.
So I guess final thoughts. So did we do that already? Are we giving straight social media?
You're the captain of the ship.
Nah, man, that's you.
I'm the captain of the AJ protectors. Don't worry about it.
AJ is the man around here. You're in charge, bro. But once Wilder wins, it's over.
All right. Okay.
People are gonna be turned off. They were. That's what I'm saying. I've been here before. Like, I was here with the Danny and Amir Khan. I was here with the, oh my God, Ricky Burns and Terrence Crawford. Oh my God. That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys are so hardcore fans blindly that there was even Rickstro fans thinking he could pull it off versus Crawford.
Yeah. Ricky Hatton? No, not
Ricky Hatton. Oh, yeah. They even thought Ricky Hatton. Yeah. 30,000 of poor saps came over and thought Ricky could do it. Oh, my God.
Poor saps. Yeah, you want us to be American fans.
But 30,000, man, that's big. I wonder how many AJ could bring to America.
I know. I think AJ brings at least 40, 50 easy, but I'd rather that 30 that came with Hatton, I'd rather they'd been turned off with Hatton's performance and stood here and turned U.S. citizen and kept watching boxing here. That would have done us a whole lot better.
But because of the boring atmosphere and the no Sweet Caroline, come on, you ain't even got that playing. How are we going to get
that? I'm pretty sure all 30,000 of them didn't leave Vegas.
Yeah, 30,000 didn't travel back, I'm sure.
I think we got that other one's like, we were rocking.
I think he gave us Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Oh,
You got it, Kaz.
I never heard that in a freaking.
Yes, you did.
That's Ricky Hatton's walkout.
Oh. Yes, Blue Moon.
Damn, look at Casual Fan.
You know, came in for the assist real quick. Boom.
Yeah, he's gone, and then he comes in singing Blue Moon.
What's that?
What kind of shirt is that? Shameless plug.
Oh, you know, this is Boxing Fan Apparel, Los Angeles. You don't know shit about boxing. TBV podcast. Lightning Thunderbolt on the bottom. And on the back is like, mad.
You don't know shit about boxing.
A lot of people stop me like, yo, what's that mean? Y'all just got bad. Is that Eric?
Yo, was that your Wi-Fi passcode, right?
That's a good one, actually, for a Wi-Fi password. But anyway, yeah, you can follow me on Instagram.
Hey, yo, look at Carlton Palmer, Ness conveniently forgetting that Lacey beat. Yo, you guys are like MMA fans.
Jeff Lacey?
You latch on to up fucking journeyman U.S. fighters and try to build a name off them. Get the fuck out of here. Like, Lacey was in his prime when he fought Kawasaki or something, man. Get out of here. Lacey ain't even... No, name somebody on Lacey's resume other than Kawasaki. How about that?
That he fought?
Yeah, Ron, not you.
The geeky is pricked up.
But it doesn't matter, though. I bet you can name someone of the level of Kawasaki on his resume because it ain't there.
Wait, we'll save it for another show.
What, you got somebody?
Wait, just rephrase the question. I didn't hear it.
Name someone on Jeff Lacey's resume the level of Kawasaki. He doesn't have one.
Roy Jones? He fought Roy Jones after.
Oh, my God, dude. After? He was already...
Well, I mean, that was the question you asked me. I just rephrased the question where you were trying
still
to
ain't get win. Still ain't win.
You're saying a sensible win. Oh, okay, I got it.
He still ain't win though.
Nah, he didn't have good.
He has no decent wins, bro. Like, I mean, maybe decent, but no, he has no top level win. Like, he got no top tier win. He's got no top three, top five win that I can remember.
No, I can't think of anything.
Well, we're out.
We're giving Jeff Lacey too much time. Y'all can follow me on IG at Gross1911.
Distance.
Say what now?
You're giving your microphone way too much distance.
Oh, my bad.
Get close.
You know, we can
follow me on IG at Gross1911.
Ah, look at Wayne. IQ keeps Ness on his toes.
Ah!
IQ's the new Matt. Shut up, Wayne.
Ah,
oh, actually, you're not even talking. You're fucking typing.
Yeah. So, where can we follow you at, Mike?
He said on Mike Gross. On is he froze? Yeah, he looks froze.
Well, anyway, you can follow me on Instagram at Fight Talk TBV _ Casual Fan is my YouTube channel, as well as my Twitter feed and my Patreon page is patreon.com/boxingfanapparel. I shipped some shirts yesterday. I'm gonna ship some more, man. I'm hungry. I'm gonna put a video out and it's gonna be free. So just follow me there, man. You don't have to pay. Just follow me. All right. Peace.
Follow him, everyone. Yeah, you can follow me though. You can follow me though.
Where?
Apparently Oh yeah, by the way, when you've done your intro, Kaz, I'm the co-star.
I know.
We're all co-hosts, but you're the co-star.
I know. I heard your film. Stop.
I liked it.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at UKRobTBV. Let's hope there's no more interviews with Eddie Hearn and Shelley Finkel and Wilder and Joshua about this fight.
What would we do if there were no more?
I don't know. Maybe other boxers might get a mention. Shit, I don't know. Are there other promoters out there? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, Ron, let's go.
So Stepchild TBV until I get my banner this week. But pretty much the forgotten Larry Holmes, I'm going to get real geeky, was a champion who fought a guy named Jerry Cooney. And now when he fought Jerry Cooney, the challenger, Larry Holmes came out first. Larry Holmes took a 50-50 split with a guy who never won a title, and he came off of a win by beating Ken Norton, who was old, had multiple losses, and never won a title. And that statement, pretty much, someone just has to give. either Wilder, AJ, they have to meet in the middle. Because if Larry Holmes was able to go 50-50 and come out first to a challenger, then these guys can work it out. That's it. Oh, you can find me at Fighter IQ Media, Twitter, Instagram, and the best boxing podcast. You guys like, subscribe right now. Last moment. Help us out.
Hit that thumbs up.
Yes, we're on the
88
for 77,000. What do you say, 88?
Oh, I thought you were saying yes to the thumbs up, and I was like, yeah, I made it 88 right now.
Damn, 88. It was on 80 on my page.
Now it's 89.
Yeah, it doesn't say 89 on my page. It says 88.
Your Wi-Fi whack.
I'm not on Wi-Fi. That's
Whack-fi.
It says 90 over here. I'm going for 91.
Oh, I got 91 now.
I made it 91. So, yeah, we're on the hunt for 77,000 subscribers. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel right here at youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you hit that notification bell because we go live. We will be live mañana with a morning show. If there are topics to talk about. But there are. There's a lot of leftovers.
90 seconds.
Something right now just showed up. Mikey Garcia was like, I'm not playing when I name drop Errol Spence.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, it's all going to depend because Errol Spence said, you know, look, he got to get past Easter, but let's see how he get past Easter. So it would be a fucking storyline. I mean, I know I will forever speak about it in that manner. And it would be like, yo, Mikey takes out the boss, the employee.
60 seconds.
And then he's going for the fucking muscle. Cause
that takes balls. That takes balls, right?
Nah, now he's going for the corporation.
That takes balls. But you see, Rob, the difference is Mikey's actually fucking winning. You want us to give Kelper credit for losing and going to surgery.
I like pressing Mikey your button.
Goes to the fight and he gets into surgery with a chainsaw, but he breaks his the face of the opponent, not the other way around. But yeah, man, we're out. Bye. Did I skip anyone?
No, you even mentioned the stepchild. It's good.
Okay, all right. We didn't skip. All right, bye, guys. Bye.